Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Sabbath. The title of my sermon this afternoon is, How Far Have You Come? In the counting to Pentecost, we're currently on day 28 of the 50-day count. We know, counting up to Pentecost, we've come up to the 28th day. But my title isn't talking about how far you drove today, although we are very appreciative and thankful that you got here safely on God's Sabbath day. And we pray that you get home as safe after services today. But how far have we progressed? How far have we come spiritually in God's calling of overcoming sin, removing it from our life with God's help, and drawing closer to God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our elder brother? Something for you to think about. How far have you come? As prophesied, in the last days, the world will be going through turbulent times. And we can see a lot of the turbulence in the world around us is actually getting through as being reported. God doesn't desire to see anyone who wants to worship Him perish. He loves all of His creation. In Revelation 18, verse 4, most of the scriptures I'm giving today is from the New King James Version. We read, And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. We see that we're being implored and warned at this time to heed what God is telling us. To come out of her. My people. We are God's people. We have been called to be very sons and daughters of God. God's word implores us, the living, implores us in Psalm 90, verse 12. We read, So teach us to number our days. Why? That we may gain a heart of wisdom. Where it says, teach us to number our days. The word day is very important, not only to God, but also to us. We should take each day of our life that God grants us to have very seriously to stay close to our Father. Because God knows our number. We don't know that number. Nor would I want to know that number as my last time, my last day. But we're to be taught by God, and we should cherish each day in that teaching. Because ultimately death is a stranger to no one. We know that. Death is a certainty. If you would turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. First Peter 4, starting in verse 16. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him or her not be ashamed, but let him or her glorify God in this matter. It applies to us all. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, What will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Verse 18. Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? That's why we have to be very clear in our learning, in our teaching, in our very daily life that God has called us to. We don't want to give up. We do not want to coast. We don't want to just think we've made it and not continue to pursue that path that God set before us. Because judgment is starting with the house of God, has started with the house of God. That is us, each and every one of us, that has accepted that calling, that has repented, that has been baptized and received God's Holy Spirit. Those that God is working with now that have yet to be baptized but are looking forward to that day and that time. In James 4, verse 14, because of the clarity of each day is so important, James 4, 14 says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. Okay, we're here right now. We're here observing God's holy convocation, His Sabbath day. We may think we know what will happen tomorrow. We have plans for tomorrow, I'm sure, and possibly next week, next month, whatever. But they're plans. They can change at the drop of a hat. So whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? What is your life? Just as the title says, how far have you come in your life? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. I'm sure there are those that have the hot cup of coffee in the morning or the hot tea, the little vapor, but how quickly that vapor disappears. That is our life. In Psalm 90, read a few verses out of Psalm 90. Psalm 90, starting with verse 1 and 2. Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the foundations were brought forth, forever you had formed the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And that's who we are worshiping. He is our Father. He is our God, our Lord. Verse 4, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. God's eternal. We are not. We are not yet. But we see that ahead of us, that God is showing us the possibility. Verse 10 of Psalm 90. The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. We've heard of those that God has ended their race. They're now asleep, waiting the resurrection. Those numbers keep showing up almost every day, every week, every month. It will continue. But we know what God has in store for his people, those that he has called. And it's a glorious thing. But we have to understand that when it comes down to our lives, our daily lives, for each one of us, there are things that we must be able to put in place to learn from God, how to cope in this world, so that we maintain a contentment in life. Do we see a lot of contentment in people in this world today? We see a lot of anger, mistrust, hatred, but we are to place things in our life through God's calling, through His Word, the contentment with our life, our peace with God. God can bring us peace, a peace with each other. We see each other on the Sabbath day, and that's usually when a lot of us only see one another. Or we may text, we may call, we may whatever, go by and visit. But to have that peace with each other through our prayers, and certainly in our deepest parts of ourselves, that inner peace that helps us to have a confident faith that God is in charge. I had a conversation earlier where that was brought up about a weight being lifted, an inner peace. These are things that we can talk about with one another, share our stories, share our lives, share our prayers for one another. In Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Not that I speak in regard to need, Paul speaking here, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. He says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that is the strength that we need to be drawing from. Our Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. The necessity to fight this battle against sin should not discourage us. And make no mistake, we know it's a battle, and we have to fight. For as Paul brought out, we can count on victory through Jesus Christ. I'll just read this from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. You don't need to turn there. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that Christ was born not only to make possible forgiveness of our past, but to help us conquer the strongholds of sin in our daily life. Because those sins can be an entrenched habit, something that we have just continued to do and find it very hard to shake, to break away from. But we can conquer those through Christ, because they are difficult to dislodge from our lives. We understand that. We know that. But we also know where the answer lies to overcome. And we should know that this gives us every reason for encouragement in our daily life, our daily struggle. And we're here for one another to assist and help in those struggles. Talk about them. Let them be known. That we could pray about, talk about, share similarities. Because after all, Christ experienced the same temptations and fully understands our plight. Hebrews 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. We are to be striving with the help of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because He is there. He's always ready to help us to gain that victory over sin. Yeah, I appreciated Mr. Cimino's message on the power of sin. The various letters that he went through. It shows that we will win, but we just have to maintain focus. We have to maintain that struggle. We have to maintain that battle. It's a battle that we can win. But with God's help and God's truth. God promises to forgive those who repent, those who confess their sins, those who turn from those sins and turn toward a life of obedience. And who better to obey than God the Father, the Almighty God, and our elder brother? Because the word daily should be in bold, should be underlined in our life, daily. We have to stop doing what's wrong. And also be able to recognize when we do something wrong. To instantly put forth the effort again to do what is right. The process of conversion and living a Christian life, again, requires work, much work. But it's a wellness of feeling of that type of work in our individual lives, as well as the body of Christ itself, to keep the body safe. For those of us today whose minds God has opened, or God is opening and working with, to His biblical truths, today, I can't talk about tomorrow, but today, because we're here, there is no better time than right now to repent of our past ways of life and start following God's ways, asking God to be showing us, lifting that mist that may still be there in front of our eyes and our heart, to allow us to fully recognize what we need to be moving away from. And it's every day we must repent. It's not something we want to just let baggage collect. So you're dragging that with you. You need to repent daily. God will forgive you. God will cast it away as far as the east is from the west. We should all know, and I'm sure we do, and we realize that this is a lifelong commitment that we made when we accepted God's calling. This is a lifelong commitment. I've noticed a lot recently, especially before the Passover that we celebrated this year, how the messages, God's messages, are having a very more impactful effect, especially on looking deeper within God's recorded words, the truth, and mining that deeper meaning from His words of what God and His Son agreed to before the foundations of the world were laid. Let's go to John 1. We'll read a few scriptures from John 1. It shows the love. There's many, many verses and scriptures throughout God's written word. And that's why we have this today, of that love that he has for us. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. And in God's plan of salvation, eventually, we, if we stay the course, we succeed. At whatever point that is, the dead in Christ will rise when Christ returns, and those still living will be changed. At that point, eternally, we will be with God. But we're with God now through His Holy Spirit. Each day, we're able to go before the very throne of God and talk to our Father and our elder brother. In verse 3 of John 1, all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Do we see the brightness of that light in our life? How far have you come in that growth of God's Word, of God's truth, of God's wisdom? Christ came here to show us the light. He recorded that for us to learn from. He's given us this life that we can live now and a life to come. You know, when I think back over my life, and I think about different people that God has recorded for us for our understanding and knowledge as to who they were and what they were doing during a certain time in their life. Yes, I picked a couple of examples here. That, what about Joseph, the son of Jacob? Jacob's name was changed to Israel. When Joseph was 17 years old, I mean, do we have teenagers in here that can relate to that timeline, that age line of 17? 17 years old. I'm not turning there, I'm just referencing. You can see that in Genesis 37, verse 2. That's when his father sent him out to check on his brothers, and he was taken by his brothers and sold into slavery. And then later it shows Joseph was 30 years old when Pharaoh placed him as second in command of Egypt. You know, timeline of 13 years. Two of those, of course, was because the butler who he had explained the dream to forgot about telling Pharaoh about Joseph. So it took 2 years before that Pharaoh's dream came up, and then he remembered his fault. 30 years of age, second in command of Egypt. Do you ever stop and think, God has called us? What is our future in God's family? At whatever age that is, that we have come to at that point where we will be called to God. You know, here Joseph, 13 years of that time span, then you had the 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. So he was roughly around 39, 40 years old by the time he was reintroduced to his father and family and brought them to Egypt, because there was 5 years remaining for the famine. And then as you can read through how Joseph, what age he was when he died. But then we have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where Mr. Howard brought up Jesus when he was the age of 12, Luke 2, verse 42. And then Jesus, who was 30 years old when he was baptized by John, he began his ministry. But I look back at my life. I'll share a little bit with you right now, and then I'll get back into the main message here. At age 12, 1966, When I wasn't going to school, I was working, making money, saving my money, whatever job I could find, especially mainly during the summertime. Because I knew I had to make money in order to buy what I wanted to buy. My parents were not going to foot that bill. They couldn't afford to. And at 17 in 1971, I knew where I wanted to be employed, where I wanted to work, what I wanted to do, what I wanted to be. And what company? Because you got to remember, back in those days, the phosphate industry was a very large business in Florida, as well as citrus. But that's, you know, age 30 in 1984, I had been married 9 years. 9 years. I had been employed 9 years. Got employed January, got married in February. If I had to do it over again, I would probably maybe try to stretch a little bit, get some money saved up, but it is what it is. But by then, we had all of our four kids. They were 8, 7, 5, and 2. And speaking of mothers, my wife was a very busy mother at that time. When I look at myself today, that was history. Look at today's date. From a physical perspective, I've been retired 6 years. And when I said this in St. Pete, I had to ask my wife this question, and she confirmed it. Still happily married for 49 years. I had to look at her and say, is that correct? Is that a correct statement? Fortunately, she said yes. So it was a nice answer. But we have 4 grown children with families of their own. 8 grandkids. And where I live is the town that I grew up around and I graduated school from. And I know for a fact, standing here today, that God has blessed my family, call it our family, tremendously. And praise goes to God and His Son for our calling into the truth. But I wasn't raised in the truth. So you have to ask yourself, how far have you come? It could be from a physical perspective or spiritual. The most important is spiritual. Because I was introduced into this way of life and God's truth through my wife. God used my wife to introduce me into the way after we were married. She was baptized in 79, I was baptized in 80. But the short answer to that question, how far have I come today, spiritually? Not far enough. I don't know how you feel, but myself, I have not come far enough. But I am aware of what God has planned for His children, for all of us. And I want to be there for eternity with our Father and elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, with God's Holy Spirit, we were able to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You don't have to turn there, but in Hebrews 4, verse 16, is where I got this information. Hebrews 4, verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I don't know about you, but every day of my life is a time of need, especially for God and Jesus Christ. Daily. I keep focusing on that word, daily. We must come to our merciful Father through our high priest for forgiveness in a bold search to find the answers in overcoming our sinful nature. Because Satan is not going to stop what he's doing and what he has been doing. He is not going to relinquish that on his own. and in this search of our life in God's Word, searching, learning, seeking, asking. Continue to evaluate our own life. As the title says, how far have you come? We need to stay focused on that. In 1 Peter 4, verse 17, I think I've already covered that one. I've already talked about that one. We'll move on there. But we need to be viewing ourselves as in a mirror, that mirror being God's law of liberty, and that mirror of Jesus Christ's sinless and perfect life, our examples that we're to be following. In James 1, verses 21 through 25. We read in verse 21, James 1. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, he goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Verse 25 of James 1. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Again, it takes work, it takes commitment, it takes striving on that daily aspect for us to become spiritually mature and perfect. Perfect. That will come. Matthew 5, verse 48. Because we're told, Matthew 5, verse 48, therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So that's where we're striving, we're working towards that goal. Because we know in Romans, I'm going to just read this verse to you, Romans 7, verse 12. It states, therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Just as we should want to be in our life. We want to be holy like God in Jesus Christ. We want to be just. We want to be good. We want to have those attributes in our life to reflect them. We know that God the Father allows only the people that He's individually calling to understand the truth, His truth. He's not calling the whole world. We are part of that calling, each of us. And we must understand, and we do, that it's vital for us to understand that there is absolutely no unfairness in God or with God. In Romans 9, verse 14, Paul speaking here, Romans 9, verse 14, he asks a question, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. God will not deny anyone the opportunity to be offered salvation in due time. This is God's timeline. In Romans, excuse me, in Romans 10, verse 9, Romans 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We know that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We know that Christ is the Son of God. We know that Christ is our Savior. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and God is a very merciful, loving, kind God. Verse 9 of Ephesians 2. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's not just by works. But there's faith involved. Faith, hope, and love throughout this life. The wisdom again, the knowledge, the understanding. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. God wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. If we maintain that focus, if we maintain that love, if we maintain that drive and commitment, we will be there as kings and priests, sons and daughters of God. We will be there to teach those that don't know at this moment in time God's truth, God's plan. Those that are misinformed, those that are unbelieving, those that believe other things in this world. A lot of false information. Again, Satan, the prince of the power of the air. But we will be there when Satan is put away. We will be there to teach people the knowledge of the truth. Because truth is God's word. In Isaiah 46, Isaiah 46, verses 10 through 11. 10 and 11. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. We have seen that throughout God's written word. Of what's happened before in the past, what's happening today, and what will be happening in the future. In 2 Peter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. That's one thing we cannot allow to be in our life, is that slackness. We have to have a firm, tight grip on God's truth. As some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. The Lord is long-suffering toward us. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It will come to pass, God's word. And as we're continuing to count forward and towards Pentecost, continue to strive to live each day, to learn each day, to more fully understand God's word, God's power, God's love. Because it is through the power of His Holy Spirit that He works mightily in and through us. It says converted people, us. It dwells in you. It dwells in me. God has called us. Because there's an unmatched power. There is no power equal to God. And God's Holy Spirit that He has shared with us, He has gifted to us, is a wonderful gift. It's a tremendous power working in us. Are we allowing it to work, to guide us, to lead us? Or are we keep hitting the brake? Are we skidding? Are we being slack? But we're to have a perfect assurance that that help is there each day. And to keep focus on that existing and wonderful future ahead of us. Continue to apply your thoughts about how far you've come. To apply yourself when you're reading God's word. Put your name there. Apply yourself. Apply your family. What would you have done in their situation? What would they have done if they had today's technology back then? Would these individuals have been different in the way they acted? I would say no. The ones that God called did what God said. Just as we today, no matter what technology is around us, what artificial intelligence is around us that we've heard of recently from Mr. Shavey's information, none of that. It's not a Marvel comic strip character. It's not a DC. It's not a Star Wars event. We're talking God, we're talking reality, we're talking a power, a love, a sound mind of His Holy Spirit that dwells within us. But when are we going to fully accept what is possible? The possibilities are limitless of what God is offering us today as well as in the future. Jesus Christ will do for us what we simply cannot perform for ourselves. We need that help. We need that focus through them. But there remains something we can and we must do in partnership, in love with God the Father and Jesus Christ. In Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. Verse 12, therefore, my beloved, put your name there. Therefore, my beloved, and those on the webcast, put your name there. God is speaking to us. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, Paul speaking here, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. God is with us. Christ is with us. We have a work to do. He's not going to do it for us. We have to do something. We have to work towards that goal. The Apostle Paul said that we die daily. We die daily. As I said earlier, you don't want your sins to accumulate. You don't want that burden, that garbage heap of sins. That's why we need to go to God daily in repentance, seeking His advice, seeking that repentance, and trying to each day do better and better and better. I'll read this verse to you, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31. Paul speaking, I affirm by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. That is a death that we want to have to be offered for us. Christ sacrificed His life in order for us to be able to go to God the Father through His sacrificed blood, to ask God for that repentance, and through His stripes to be healed. Here the Apostle Paul said that he dies daily. Continuing to repent of our old habits is what we should be doing. Our old habits and sins that crop back up at times. You know, for the life of me, I cannot grow a garden of beans or whatever. But grass, if grass was a crop, I have a green thumb for grass, you know. But I don't want sins to crop up like the grass does in my garden. It says we are renewed daily. So that's why we continue to strive to follow Jesus Christ's sinless example. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. You don't need to turn there. I'll read it. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Are we renewing that in ourselves day by day? Everlasting life in the family of God is available to only those who repent of their sins. Because we read in Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short. But we're to get up, brush yourselves off, go to God, repent. Because we know there are no exceptions. God is not going to take half measures in His plan of salvation. It's all for God and not a tenth of a percent for myself. No. That sin is sin. It's all for God. And although God desires all people to be saved, He doesn't force any one of us to repent. He doesn't. 1 Timothy 2:4. It reads, who desires, who God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And His kindness and His goodness leads us to repentance. But again, He doesn't make the choice for us. That decision is still ours. It's still yours, 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 mine, those on the webcast. Romans 2:4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Let's search out that goodness each day. You know, we ask the question, how far have you come? We know with God's plan of salvation in his holy days, you know, Adam lived till he was 930 years old. Yeah, that's less than 1%. It's like 0.155% out of a 6,000-year period. Very minuscule. I looked at my age out of a 6,000-year period. Okay, it's 0.0166 whatever. Very infinitesimal. But then you look at God's plan for us, the eternity that God has waiting for us, and those that will be coming up in the resurrection, the second resurrection, those that have lived 900, 800, 700, 600, 500 years, but when they come up and have that first opportunity, and ask them a question, how far have you come? Well, they will probably only remember at what point they died or whatever it may be. I don't know. And all this time has passed to that point in the future where they're resurrected. And again, we're going to be there. Let's all be there as priests and kings, and teachers, to guide them through God's truth. Guide them to be a very part of God's family. Well, Satan deceived them, as Satan continues to deceive. God is love. God has always been love. And God's plan will come to fruition. So when you think about that, how far have you come? Think of the Almighty God and his mercy and his love that he's applied to you and shared with you in your calling by God. It's a wonderful thing. So enjoy the rest of your Sabbath. Be careful out there on your way home.